Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk, and it encourages you, and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
Ooh. We're here. We're at studio together. My gosh, I made it. I finally made it. It took me almost 4 years to get here. My gosh, I hope this ear thing works. Okay. All righty. Wow. Well, this is going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I'm going to have fun. I hope you have fun with me. And wow, a little bit about, for those of you who are just kind of joining the train here. Sherry and I, we grew up in a little town called Weaverville, and we got saved within a month of each other. We both got saved when we were 21, so we had plenty of time to mess up our life as, you know, young adults. And we met at Calvary Chapel, Mountain Chapel in Weaverville, got saved. Went to church there, and gosh, Eric and Brian and Leah. I met Bill and Benny when Leah was in Benny's belly, poking out. I mean, that's been a while. How old is Leah now?
42.
42 years ago. So we've been together. We've been running together for a while. Well, Sherry and I decided to get married. Now, it's important to realize that. Sherry's two parents and her stepfather, who raised her, helped raise her since she was six, and my two parents, those five people represent 15 marriages. They've all been married three times, okay? And then Sherry and I broke up twice in a year and then decided to get married 2 months after we got back together the second time, you know, the third time, whatever it was. And we did a Taylor Johnson compatibility assessment. And we didn't find out for 12 years what it said. Because Bill Johnson was our pastor. And Bill Johnson doesn't tell people bad news. Just one of his gifts. And so 12 years in, we were at his house and we were bickering about something. And he chuckles. He goes, "That reminds me of that note that was on your assessment." And we said, "What note?" He goes, "Remember that note that was on your assessment, your Taylor Johnson compatibility assessment?" No. I didn't tell you about that note. And Benny from the kitchen says, "Bill, you didn't tell them?" "What note?" He says, "Oh my gosh, for 10 years I would take those assessments, pull them out of the envelope. I got it back from the psychologist, and I would just read it. And when I pulled yours out, there was a post-it note on it. And it said, from the doctor, said, 'Bill, do whatever you can to stop this marriage.'" Because Sherry and I are clinically incompatible. "No, Bill, you didn't tell us about that note." "No, no." Which would explain the last 12 years of homicidal fantasies. So 15 marriages and being clinically incompatible. And next June will be 41 years with this lady. Lord Jesus. So I say all that to say to you that our ministry to other people is bread off our life. You know, we're just taking bread off of what we learned, because we had to learn how to do this, because there was just nobody who was going to help us, and we didn't have a Danny and Sherry in our life, really. We had a bunch of people that were doing it, but they didn't bring to the party what we brought, you know. And for whatever reason, when you prayed the prayer, you know, it's, Lord, forgive me of my sins, and thank you, amen. that cleanses you. But now what? Now what are we going to do? Now what are we going to do? What we're going to do is what we learned. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. So if I learned it, I can unlearn it, and I can learn something else. And that's what we did, and that's what we do. And I just have a little time with you today. You know, I'm like, what am I going to talk to people I've not met? You know, what are we going to talk about? There's so much to talk about. A bunch of it I wrote down. I put it in books. They're not here yet. I heard that they're not here yet. They'll be here tomorrow. Hopefully you are too. And otherwise, you could do the whole, get it. So I wrote a bunch of it down so that you could not need me in a room. You know, we have lovingonpurpose.com. If you've not been there, that's a great experience. And there's all that stuff's on there. There we have something called Life Academy. I'll just kind of run through a few of these things. Boop, there we go. Turn it on. On helps. Yes. Boom. 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 Okay. It worked in this port here. Let's see if it works now. We have a monthly prayer network where we just get together on a Tuesday at 2. This is California time. Tuesday at 2 for 20 minutes. We get together with hundreds of people and just pray into families. You know, so if that's of interest to you and you're available during that time, that would be a great thing to join. We just focus on breakthroughs for families. Lord knows we need them. Amen. Yeah. We also have something called, and that's not working either. Okay, well, there we go. We also have something called Kyler University. And Kyler University is a 16-week course where we just pour into your connection with God, your connection with your own heart, and your connection with other people. And we just take time to teach you how to do that. And it's so critical that it lines up like that. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, you got to love you. And what you export, you get from him. So if you don't get this cleared up, and you don't get this cleared up, then whatever it is you have to give is not awesome. We'll just go with that, okay? There's lots of other stuff in there, and our Life Academy is hundreds of courses around building relationships and helping you do small group stuff and helping you do independent study stuff, and it's all there. Just go to the website. It's there. It's there. I'm going to talk to you because what we did is Brittany and I have a podcast where we sit and talk about relationships. Been doing it for few years now. You know, it's fun when you do something and you get millions of downloads. You know, you're like, ooh, this is working. You know, I don't even know who those people are, but we're impacting them. And so a part of that was to figure out, how do I take all the stuff I want to say and turn it into a little model? Well, we found the Kylo 5 is what we end up using. And I'm going to trade this microphone for... There we go. All right. Yeah, okay. Now I'm not thinking about my ear. Fantastic. All right. So, the Kylo 5 is what we're going to spend time talking about today, and then we're going to take time to ask questions, because classically, when people come to hear about relationships and or leadership and or parenting and or the sharpest, most painful thing in my life, they have questions. So I want to be sure to be able to zero in on something that is helpful to you where you are right now. Because whether you have, you were not able to answer, did you sleep for 6 hours last night? You know, whether you're at that end of life because you have a little one that took a nap earlier that day and thought they'd cut your night in half, or you have adult children. Anybody have adult children? Yeah, there you go. That's the most out of control feeling you've ever had in your life, isn't it? That's just the craziest thing. You're like, oh my gosh, those people just did whatever they want. Yeah, they did not learn that at home, I'll tell you what. Yeah, right? 100%. So it doesn't matter where you are in this whole gambit of life, there's just lots of adventure and lots of curious things. I wrote a book called Loving Your Kids on Purpose, and people say, when are you going to write Loving Your Adult Kids on Purpose? And I said, as soon as I figure it out, that's when I'll do it. Yeah, as soon as I got that figured out, we'll do it. Yeah. Whew. Super fun stuff. Love is not something that is the natural choice. You know, we don't naturally choose to love people. I know some people give themselves credit for that. You're mistaken. It is an act of sacrifice. So I think that, you know, if you don't have children yet, you don't really know how much God loves you yet. Because there's this thing that happens. I mean, it tries to happen in marriage. If you can get through the power struggle of it all, that you're like, oh my gosh, I've never sacrificed as much as I have for this person. This is incredible. I think I'm changing. How is this possible? And then you have children. And children are the craziest experience you've ever had because you didn't pick them. You ended up with them for the rest of your life. Right? These people just show up and they're like, I've come here to change your life. You're like, awesome! I think I'll do this a couple more times. And each one of them are different. So you don't even get to do the stuff you learned on the first one. You don't even get to do that on the second one. The behavior of love is supernatural, and it's coming from you to other people because it's a resource to you. And sometimes we are kind to other people and we're caring to other people because we'd rather be that way than a different way because it's kind of how we're wired. But it's also how we survive. So a lot of caring, kind people are doing that to avoid fighting. But we give ourselves credit for being loving. You know? You're like, I'm just more loving than you. That's why I married you. See if I could teach you. And that's why I married you. So we'd stay married. And the depth of devotion and commitment and sacrifice to make covenant relationships is supernatural. And when I am not directed by my connection with him, then you are a resource and you are expendable. Which is what we see going on all over the place is people have become disposable. Because I'm on a quest for pleasure. And so we have a condition that we're living in that is the result of freedom. See, at one point in society, there was so much external pressure that would shame you into submission that you would never leave your marriage. You would never leave your family. There was such a social punishment connected to that. That's gone. I was standing in line yesterday at the Delta flight to here from Birmingham, standing next to this guy. I was telling him what I was doing, and Sherry and I are going to Europe after this. I meet her, and we go to Europe, and it's our 40th anniversary was last June, but we've kind of messed around long enough, like, man, we should do something. I don't know, we should do something. Let's do something. So we're going to go to Portugal and Turkey and see some stuff we've not seen before. Ephesus, we're going to go to Ephesus. And I told him, I said, yeah, da, 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 yeah, 40 years with this lady. He goes, whoa. He's my age. Whoa, 40 years. And I'm in Alabama, you know, so it's not like I'm in California. You know, it's like, whoa, 40 years. Dude, that doesn't happen much these days. Well, I know lots of people that have been married 40 years. How many of you have been married at least 25 years? Look at that. Okay, got someone. Yeah, way to go. Congratulations, yeah. That's about how long it takes to finally give up all hope of ever controlling the other person. About 25 years in, you just look over at them and you think, you're never going to change, are you? You know, you're just always going to be like this, aren't you? Well, now what are we going to do? My gosh, what are we going to do now? Right. He's like, whoa, 40 years. Like, yeah, 40 years. That has happened in a world where there's really no pressure to keep doing it. There's actually an opposite pressure today, which is, hey, buddy, there's something better waiting for you. You should come and check it out. There's women out there that don't give you any trouble at all. Really? Seriously? Yeah, they're robots. No, it's just there's this fantasy world that is seducing everyone out of their struggle. There's just a place where there's no struggle. There's a place where there's no sacrifice. There's a place where you don't have to change. Yeah. It's called your imagination. And lots of people are going to go find out if it's true. So what do we do instead? Well, we Kylo 5. That's what we do. And Kylo 5 starts with, me know what time it is. There you go. All right. Kylo 5 starts with you being a powerful person. Now, this is in option to being a powerless person. And powerless people are wanting to push responsibility away from them. Meaning that I look at that and I say, that, you, them, is why I did what I did. I did what I did because you did what you did. I said what I said because you said what you said. I am who I am because you control me. Well, the first thing that has to be established in any healthy relationship is nobody controls you. So if you don't control yourself, you're out of control. That's that terrible feeling you keep having. If you think you can control other people, guess what? You'll try. That's how you know you think that. Somebody does something and you're like, oh. That means go do something else. I control you. I control you with my anger. I control you with my rejection. I control you with my silence. I punish you. When you don't do what I want you to do, I punish you. Is me thinking that I can control you. You hurt me, you scare me, I punish you. Is me thinking I can control you. That's how I know I think I can control other people. I do it to my children. Rah! Do what I say. I'm big and scary and you're little and destructible. I was raised like that. I'll never do that to my children. Well, now your children think they control you. You taught your children that you can control me. Wow. You kept it alive. You didn't break it anywhere. You kept it alive. It's now you're still the one being controlled. Now it's just by little tiny people that poop themselves. Oh my, how we've fallen. Right? Why? Because you never learned to be a powerful person. You never learn to manage yourself because that's your greatest gift you can give to your children. Not that they can be controlled, but that they can control themselves. And that's the goal. You have to learn how to control yourself. It's not my job to calm you down. It's not my job to sort it out for you. It's not my job to do anything to you. It's my job to show you what it looks like to take personal responsibility and control myself. And then teach you to do the same. You're welcome. You're welcome, child. Now go. Go out there and do whatever the heck you want. You're going to do it anyway. Right? There's no remote. There's no remote control. If there was a remote control, I would never choose the angry at me button. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. Be angry at me. Be angry at me. Yeah, I like this one. There you go. Let's set this on 3 days. There you go. Be angry at me for days. Love it. Love it. Yeah. Yeah. No. If there was a remote control, it'd be like, happy. You're happy again. Look at you. Look how happy you are. And you're pointing it at me. You love me. Say it again. Say it again. Show me. Show me. Show me. Love me. Love me. Love me. Happy. 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 Yeah. If we're married, you're naked. Come on. There we go, right? Yeah. There's no remote. There's no remote. Remote doesn't work. Right? So it is now crucial that we learn to control ourselves. That I learn how to tell this guy what to do, and he will do it. Rain or shine. Pain or scared. I know how to manage me, and I can say, hey, you are going to be Christ-like. That's what you're going to do right now. But I don't talk back to me. Don't you roll your eyes at me. You get out there, and you do it. On a good day, that's how much control you have. Powerless people want to somehow convince themselves that what they're experiencing in life is because of what other people are doing.
Charlie bit me. Mom, Johnny bit me. And that really hurt, Johnny, and it's still hurting.
For God has not given us a spirit of stupidity, with power, love, and a sound mind, right? I put my finger in your mouth, and I'm surprised that Charlie bit me. Shouldn't be. But I act like a victim. You know, when stuff happens to us, you're like, wow, that happened. That really happened. And then when we go back to it, and it happens again, we're not a victim anymore. We're now a volunteer. And when you push responsibility away from you, you're not responsible for what you do. When I blame you for how I'm feeling, how I'm experiencing life, you know, short of being in a cage, there are situations where people are in cages and, you know, they are literally unable to do anything else. But most of us aren't those people. Okay, so what about there's those. You're not them. You live in a very free, choice-filled world and can push responsibility away from you. You made me angry. Why would I do that? Why would I do that? Why would I make you angry? You made me miserable. No, I didn't. I really didn't make you miserable. You did. You've not been given a spirit of powerlessness. You've not been given a spirit of fear, timidity. What would lead you to back away from your life and your situation? But instead, you've been given a spirit of power, of love, and a sound disciplined mind or self-control. You've been given the mind of Christ. Therefore, step one in this process is being a powerful person. Being a person who's going to direct themselves in relationships and avoid moving responsibility away from them and actually welcoming responsibility to me. Our society has been trained to be irresponsible, to push responsibility away from me. And here is all you need to do. Step one of becoming trapped in an irresponsibility loop is find yourself a bad guy. It's all you need to do. You just need a bad guy. Maybe you sleep with the bad guy. Maybe you looked over and go, oh my gosh, you woke up. I can't believe it. My life is going to suck. My life is a trap. I can't believe that you didn't die. I prayed that the Lord would take you home and be merciful to you. Oh gosh, I got to go through another day because you're here. My life is so hard because of you. Maybe gave birth to the bad guy. My life is so hard because of you. My life was fine till you came along. Our family was fine till you came along. Maybe the bad guy gave birth to you.
my dad is so and such and so and. Hi, Dad. Yeah, I'm great. Dad, good. How you doing? How's Mom? Yeah. Mm-hmm. My dad is so.
Maybe you work with the bad guy.
Oh, you too?
Yeah. Maybe the bad guy works for you.
Not person that they're just like they what they can't think.
You know, if you're having a hard time finding a bad guy, just get on social media. Okay, social media is a bad guy factory. It's a reason it exists. It's to put bad guy after bad guy after bad guy in front of you. Here's one. Here's another one. Here's another one. Here's another reason your life is miserable. Because of them. Because of him. Because of her. That's it. Because once you have a bad guy, you get to now move things along, and now you get to have a victim. Now here's the thing about victims. Victims are responsible for nothing that they do. That's why if you're working with somebody who's been victimized, or you're ministering to somebody who has experienced trauma, one of the most evil things you can do is leave them in their powerlessness. I mean, Jesus comes to the earth and he says, you've not been given a spirit of powerlessness. You've not been given a spirit of timidity. You've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love. And you can control that mind of yours. That's the essence of where you get to start in relationship with the one who came and set you free. And so that is the ministry that we have to other people. And for whatever reason, we allow ourselves to have bad guys. And you know, Jesus said, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. See, that's in the Bible. He's quoting the Bible. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, no bad guys. No bad guys. You know what happens when you love your enemies? You don't have any. Is this working? Because this feels like it lands pretty hard on Christians. I don't know what it is. You're like, well, what about that political person I know I'm thinking of right now? That person's evil. They're a bad guy. Well, what about? Well, you don't have a mother-in-law like I have. I'll tell you what. Hey, she's a bad guy. I mean, we all have this, you know, given ourselves permission to violate the commandments of Jesus in our lives. Yeah, you can hate somebody if you need to, you know. You can have a bad guy if you need to. You don't have permission from heaven to do it. Because as soon as you give yourself permission to have a bad guy, you get to introduce someone who's irresponsible. And here's the deal, you know, none of us are going to show up in heaven, come before the great throne of judgment, and have Jesus say, okay, who are we blaming this on? My pet bad guy. Okay, I get him. I'll get to him. You just come on in here. You just hide back here. I'll take him. No, it doesn't work like that. Nothing healthy works like that. You don't get to push responsibility for your life away from you and not have it cost you dearly. Because you will live as a powerless person, blaming your life on something out there. Blaming your choices, blaming your situation and your condition on something out there, somebody out there. Somebody out there. And unless they change, my life can't change. They have all the power. Blame is giving a power to change away to somebody that doesn't even care about you. Why in the world would you do that? You wouldn't even let that person drive your new car. Why would you give them control of your life? Because as soon as we end up with a bad guy, we need a good guy. And a lot of us think that's our ministry. Hey, bad guy, you stop being bad in the name of Jesus. And you quit picking on that poor victim. I've been sent from heaven to confront you, bad guy. You stop your badness now in Jesus' name. And I mean it. You don't want to see what could happen. So I brought four verses. Here you go. And these verses will help you feel bad. Because that's what you need right now. Is you need to feel punished because of your mistakes. Repent, bad guy. See the light. And the bad guy looks at the good guy and says, who are you and what do you have to do with our situation? And the good guy says, absolutely nothing. But my life often feels out of control, so I like to be overly involved in other people's problems. Well, we're not talking about me, bad guy. We're talking about you. We're talking about you, bad guy. Cease your badness. And the bad guy looks at the good guy and says, I can't even believe you come over here trying to make me feel bad or my feelings make me... Help! 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 And now the former bad guy is now the victim. And the former good guy is now the bad guy. And then, woof, woof, here comes the new good guy who looks at the former good guy who's now the bad guy and says to him, cease your badness in Jesus' name. Here's four verses. Does this feel familiar? Because it should. Because this is what happens when we give ourselves permission to have a bad guy. And this irresponsibility hurricane rips through our families, our churches, our communities, our society. It'll rip through generations. Just because we gave ourselves permission to violate the commandment of Jesus, who said, love your enemy. See, love's not natural. It's supernatural. And it comes as a change agent to your character. You're going to have to change to tap love. You're not going to recognize yourself on the other side of practicing love. You're different. You get through raising them children and you're different. And you just look back and go, yep, I spoiled all of them. I should have killed them. But I loved them. So I changed. It was the weirdest experience. Marriage will change you. Love will change you. Because fear, people who are scared want control. People who are scared want control. And people who are scared a lot are control freaks, right? People who are afraid a lot are control freaks. So if you're a control freak, I just want to tell you, learn to control your freaking self. Okay? Control freaks, would you please work on the person you can do something about? Would you please? Help us all. Help us all. Being a control freak is not some kind of excellent manager or multitasker or a great leader. I'm just a control freak. That's just how I am. Everything gets done perfectly. That's how it works. Because I can't exist if it doesn't go perfect. Something's wrong with me if I don't get you to do perfect things. So get back to perfection. So we can enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. I don't even know what the fruit of the Spirit of fear is. But there's no joy in there. There's no peace in there. There's no gentleness in there. There's no kindness in there. So remember, people who are afraid want control. Okay, be a powerful person and then choose to win the battle between love and fear. And it's a battle. It's not an option on this planet, it's a battle. Love and fear are mortal enemies, and both of them are warring to be your counselor. And powerful people understand that they choose their counselor. Powerless people want to be victims to fear. I'm just afraid. It's just like, I just got afraid again. I'm just afraid. It's just, I don't know how it happens. I just get afraid. You get afraid so quickly and so easy because it's a habit. And if you've been doing it long enough, it's now part of your character. When was the last time you taught somebody to drive? You know, just kind of get that picture in your head. You got a 16-year-old in the car driving, right? And they're like, hey, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do it like that. You can, this works. Okay, this works. This works. You don't, you're scaring us all. We're all going to kill you. Stop it if you don't kill us. I remember getting to the bottom of the hill and my son says, which way makes that blinker? I'm like, up. Up. Gosh, when was the last time I thought about the blinker side switch connection? Like, it's been a minute since I'm like, oh, yeah, that one. That one. You know, like, what? Who thinks about driving? We just end up places now. We just end up places here. I didn't even think about it. There wasn't a thought in my head about driving here. How'd you get here? I don't know. Just appeared here. That's wild. I don't remember any of that. Why? Because it's a habit. I just do it. I was watching a movie on the way here while I was driving. I give it so little thought, you know? Like, what is happening? That's what a habit will do. I just get so scared. I just got scared. I just got scared. I just got scared. Because it's a habit. If you learn to be scared, you can learn to love. It's true. But it takes a powerful person to realize I have a decision. And I'm responsible for the decision I make right here. So a powerful person understands that there's a war. And I'll talk about this tomorrow morning, but this is the Amplified Bible, so it's got more words. But I love it. I love it because it kind of unpacks this and kind of slows it down. But here's the deal. Your source of fear as a believer is the lie that you believe of divine punishment. If you still toy with the idea in your mind that you are subject to being punished by God, you don't understand love. Is this still working? Is this still working? Because here's the other place I lose them. If you are still toying with the idea that you are subject to the punishment of God, then you don't believe in the work of the cross. Yes, Lord, blood Jesus, wash me of all my sin, cleanse me, make me righteous, you know, and sanctify me and put me in reconciled with the Father, and just amen, amen. And then ever since then, I've been making a payment plan. I've just been on a payment plan ever since I got saved. So what I do, I make a payment. Because I'm trying to avoid being punished by my Father. Because the blood of Jesus isn't sufficient for all my sin. I got to pay for some of them. And therefore, love does not get to mature in you. Because perfect, mature love casts out most of the fear, the majority of it. All, gosh, I wonder what the Greek word all means. Look it up. Look it up. That's the promise. That's the reality. We're not going to export what we don't have. And if I'm punishable, so are you. And we'll cultivate it in our marriages, and we'll teach it to our children, and we'll preach it from our pulpits, and we'll misrepresent our Father to the whole planet and generation. Or we mature in love and understand that there is no place for the lie of divine punishment in my relationship with my Father. We live in an opportunity for ongoing excuses for self-preservation. You know, like I just needed some self-preservation right here in this moment, in this conversation we're having. I just thought I would just kind of drink some self-preservation before we had this talk. Because I thought I would activate one of Jesus' promises in my life. He who tries to save his own life will lose it. That's what I'm about to do. I'm about to kill myself in this conversation. I'm about to set us up to have the worst conversation possible on the planet by getting high on self-preservation before we started. And self-preservation is a demon. And it will ruin love faster than anything I can think of. For 12 years, Sherry and I are drunk with self-preservation. Sherry gets angry when she feels powerless. She gets angry when she gets hurt. She was raised by six brothers. She was raised in a family with six brothers. She's the only girl. And it's just absolute chaos. And I was raised by a single mom who probably has never killed a fly. Maybe. I can't say I witnessed it, but. So there was no fighting in my house. There was no chaos. It was, other than the chaos she was involved in, there was no chaos in my house, really. So Sherry and I decided to get married because I think that marriage and relationships come with a remote. And I thought I could make someone happy. And I found somebody who was unhappy just to have a workout. You know? I'm going to work this muscle. I'm going to be really good at it. That's what I'm going to do. So I had this little happy dust. Just, it worked on my mom. I could make her happy. She's like, oh, Daddy. Oh, Daddy. You're so good at making me happy. I'm like, so I blew it in Sherry's face and she hit me. Who you think you are, buddy, blowing stuff in people's faces. But that's a good way to get lit up. So we were pastoring. We replaced Bill Johnson and at Mountain Chapel. We are now going to pastor the church where we got saved in the little community that we grew up in as heathen. And we're going to pastor the weird church in town. What could go wrong? So Sherry wasn't having any fun at all. And, you know, it was just, it was a rough time. And something new came to Weaverville, something called Sozo. Have you ever heard of Sozo? Sozo, inner healing. They had it at Bethel. They're going to, hey, we'd like to send somebody up to Weaverville and offer Sozo. We're like, what's that? It's deliverance of demons. And I said, oh, that's awesome. And Sherry said, I'd like to get a Sozo. And I'm like, if anybody in this room needs a Sozo. And she volunteered for it. Miracles. Miracles are happening every day. So I'm like, awesome. So she goes through a Sozo, and 3 hours, she comes home, and I said, how'd it go? I'm like, what happened? She said it was good. And she left. I'm like, okay, that is... Sherry's never acted like that in her life. You're like, something's wrong. So we sat down, and she said, well, you know, I just, the Lord showed me a bunch of things, but probably the key thing that he showed me is that I've never felt protected. And I thought, for sure, I mean, you were raised by the wolves. And she said, I've never felt protected by you. The Lord showed me that I've never felt protected by you. How did I get in your Sozo? I am the victim of this relationship. You're the bad guy. What the heck? I was so mad. Sozo doesn't work. So it took me a couple days. You know, the Lord was like, did you hear what I said? I said, yeah, I heard what she said. Did you hear what I said? I heard what she said. And then finally I'm like, oh my gosh, you're talking to me right now? Oh my gosh. And it dawned on me. I have never one time in 12 years thought about protecting Sherry. I had only thought about protecting myself. I thought about protecting other people. I never one time thought about protecting Sherry. I mean, who protects the T-Rex at Jurassic Park, you know? I'm the little goat on the chain, you know? I had never one time taken responsibility for my role as a man and a husband in 12 years to protect my wife. That was a hard lesson. That was a harsh reality. That was a giant leap in a different direction than I had ever taken. I now have to understand that Sherry's anger, and I could do this with other people at the time. I was learning all kinds of stuff about relationships and helping people. I'm a social worker. You know, I'm helping foster children and foster parents and people who've had their children taken away by the state and trying to reconcile their families. And I do this. This is what I do. I just never thought of using it at home. And all of a sudden I realized, oh my gosh, you're not angry. You're hurt. You're not angry. You're scared. You're not angry. You feel powerless over something. You're not angry. You're sad. I have a very different response to somebody who's hurt than I do who's angry. I have a very different response to somebody who feels powerless than someone who looks powerful. And all of a sudden, I have the capacity, the understanding, mixed with courage and responsibility, to move towards what I've always run away from or protected myself from. Now, she didn't believe me to begin with, right? She's like, chicken, turkey, you weak man, you poking me, like, run away, come on, do that thing you do. Disappear. Be unavailable. Leave me on my own again. I just kept coming. Because a lot of people want to be confident right out of the gate, right? You want some confidence, do what you do. Well, that takes commitment. You got to be committed to get to confidence. And you got to have courage to make a commitment. And what comes before courage is diarrhea. You got to feel the diarrhea and do it anyway, baby. That's what happens, okay? So I'm scared out of my mind. I'm scared out of my mind. I'm walking towards what I've been so afraid of to convince her, to demonstrate that something's changed in here. And what's changed is my commitment to love you deeper. I'm going to mature in this love. And I'm going to stop blaming you for how I behave.
Because you don't control me. Here I come. I'm sorry you're so hurt. And I don't want you to be scared. And what are you feeling so powerless about? And I see that you're sad. And all of a sudden, I'm married to a different woman. All of a sudden, she can actually show up and let me see her. So my reward is a new marriage. Sherry's my first wife. And my second wife, and my third wife, and my fourth wife. I've had four or five different marriages, all to the same woman. And that's maturity. That's maturity. That's the hope and the promise that you're not stuck in what you have. And powerful people understand that. And winning the battle between love and fear is what moves you through the diarrhea to get to what now feels like confidence. Be powerful, win the war between love and fear, and keep connection your goal. See, your goal is yours. It's nobody else's. And 100% of the people that would come in for marriage counseling with me in the early days, I would say, what's the goal of this marriage? And they'd both look at me. And the man would say, well, you know, to raise our children so they don't go to prison. Make enough money so we're not miserable old people. And do something for Jesus. I go, well, that's your parenting goals, your financial goals, and your ministry goals. What's the goal of your marriage? Yeah, I don't understand the question. Right, because it's been a while since they actually thought about their love, right, and what they're going to do with it. And I would say, well, here's the goal that you currently have, and that is enough distance to protect yourself from each other. The current goal you have in your relationship is a safe distance. If either of you get too close, the other rolls a relational grenade out there, and boom, you got your distance back. I just need to know if that's the goal you want to keep or you'd like a new goal. Because if it's the goal you want to keep, this will be the last meeting that we have because you don't need my help doing that. You're doing a fantastic job without me. And I will never work harder on your marriage than you do. And then we begin to talk about what a loving, intimate connection looks like. And they say, yeah, some of that. That's what we'd like. Okay, well, you're going to need some help with that, I can see. But I need your goal to be connection, and I need your goal to be connection, or this isn't going to work. Because if my goal with you is distance, you can't do anything right. You can't do anything right. My goal with you is a safe distance. That's my goal. You don't control me. So if you have distance with someone, check your goal. Well, I have distance because of them. No. You have distance because of you. Yeah. They don't control your goal. Yeah. So no doubt you made them a bad guy. And then you justify blaming them for turning your love off. Turned your love off? Where did you get permission to turn your love off? I always like to think of people coming in boldly into the throne room. Hi, guys. I've come to request permission to turn my love off towards them. I have suffered long. I have endured. I've been patient, and I've forgiven 493 times. And you can see the Trinity looking at itself. I like to think it's Jesus who says, well, we were just marveling at how long you hung in there. Because we quit loving them a long time ago. Permission granted. It's ridiculous, huh? It's kind of silly to think of it like that. So you turned your love off? Where'd you get permission to do that? Because you did not get that permission from heaven. I know you don't know me very well, and I talk a lot about boundaries, and we'll get to that at some point in our experience together. But right now, right here, the gunpowder that you carry around is you keep your love on. That's what you brought with you. And no bad guys. So the goal of your relationship is connection. My goal with you is connection. I love what we put in all these weddings, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 stuff, you know. Love is, there's patience, and love is, and love does all this stuff. I love the bottom part of here. Love never fails. What? What? Hell no, we're not. What, you don't understand how hard I have it. Well, you haven't been crucified yesterday, have you? Have you been crucified lately? I mean, did somebody rip your flesh off? Did somebody take the most innocent you've ever presented and torture you to death? Is that what just happened to you? Because, yeah, you sound sad. Yeah, I don't think that's what happened to you. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing. Yeah, there's the standard. That's what we're all trying to get to right there. So I don't know how rough a day you had. I know she forgot to bring home your favorite chips. I know. That's enough. Just turn it off. Turn it off. There you go. Get a little punishment going. That'll teach her to ever make a mistake ever again. That's right. No. I don't know where you got permission to turn it off, but you didn't get it from heaven. In the last 10 years, it was probably, I'd say, about six, seven years ago, Sherry and I were locked up about something. We were just locked down hard on something. I can't remember what it was. It was big. It was a giant deal. It was so massively huge. I can't remember what it was. But it got to the point in this conversation, and it had been going on for a minute, and she finally says, I don't know if we're going to survive this. I'm like, what the, hey, you don't get to talk like that. That's scary. And I remember watching the words, I don't know what we're going to do about this, but my goal with you is connection. I watch the words come out of my mouth because it's a habit in my heart. It's part of my character to keep connection, the goal with her. And I watched myself say it. And I thought, way to go. How'd that happen? And she turned and looked at me. And it was like the tangible spirit of fear left the room. The whole thing changed. My goal with you is connection. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to sort this out.
this big old giant threatening problem that I can't even remember what it was. My goal with you is connection. Mature love casts out fear. And we're powerful, we win between love and fear, we keep connection the goal, and then we practice respectful communication. And respectful communication is a choice. Disrespectful communication is a choice. You decide the words that come out of your mouth. Nobody else is forming those words for you. No one else is choosing them. No one else is pushing that air over your vocal cords but you. Now, maybe you have a bad habit. Maybe you've given yourself permission to be disrespectful to some people sometime. You might want to work on that. Because I'm not sure where you got permission to be disrespectful and punishing. Except you think you deserve punishment. Then you think other people deserve it. And you are just the person to bring it. I'm going to practice respectful communication. And I'm going to do it in such a way that sets us up for success, that chases fear away. It's coming out of my goal with you is connection. Any business people in here? Anybody have a job in here? Okay. Anybody in dependent on selling things to other humans? Yes? Okay. Isn't it amazing how respectful you are in those relationships? Why? Because my goal with you is connection. My goal with you is transaction. I would love nothing more than for you to give me some money. Right? Yeah. So I'm super, super respectful. I practice respectful communication with people that I value. I practice respectful treatment of the relationship with people that I value. Yeah. I have a choice. I mean, when was the last time you got pulled over by a police officer and you said, when he came up, "What do you want, jerk?" Probably didn't happen. Probably didn't happen. Why? Because you want to be really practiced in respect. He gives you a ticket and you say, "Thank you." What? Yeah, yeah. It's choice. I choose where I'm respectful and I choose where I'm disrespectful. And when my goal with you is connection, then that makes you valuable in the way I'm going to treat you. A lot of us are scared of communication. You're like, "Yeah, we tried to communicate, and that's when the fight started." Right? Yep, as soon as 10 o'clock at night, we need to talk. "Oh, no, no, not at 10 o'clock. You can't start a conversation at 10 o'clock. Conversations are at least 4 hours long, and we both feel terrible at the end of it. No, there's no communicating at 10 o'clock at night. That's foul, foul. Unnecessary roughness." Right? Because we're so afraid of it because we don't know how to approach respectfully someone that we feel disconnected with. And so we get scared of the very thing that is going to help us the most. We are so afraid of the light.
I know we preach about it, and we tell people that the light's the best place to be, and, you know, the light will just, you know, illuminate your, you just need the light, you need to, you just, you, you, and we all know that the meadow is where the buck gets shot, right? Oh, yeah, he's out in the field, there we go, we shot him right there, he was right there. Anybody that steps into the light, gonna get shot. That's the worst place you could be, is in the light. No, no, no. You get, the more you got to lose, the more you love the darkness. Self-preservation will put you in the darkness. Most of the work I do is with Christian leaders and or business leaders who are Christians, and they classically preach from the darkness. Because they have the most to lose. Because they know what happens when people see them. Christians love punishment. We love it. We love it. We love it. It's justice. It's how you get justice. No, see, earth justice is the bad guy gets punished. Earth justice is you get what you deserve. Heaven's justice is reconciliation. We've actually been given the ministry of heaven's justice. But we love earth's justice. We love it. And Christian leaders know that more than anybody. People in charge know that better than anybody. Parents know that better than anybody. Husbands and wives know that better than anybody. And so we try to create a kingdom love experience from the darkness. And it's a horrible idea. And here's how it looks. This is how it behaves. We need to talk. We need to talk. So I'm going to tell you about you. Okay? And then you are going to agree with me. Because I have the gift of discernment. And I talk to the Lord about this. And we both agree. You need to make some adjustments. So I'm going to tell you about you, and then you act like I'm strangling you, okay? And then you fight me to keep from being controlled and judged by me, and then you do it to me, okay? Then you tell me about me, and then I'll deny that I ever knew you, and I will tell you how wrong you are about me. And then I'll do it to you again, okay? We'll just do this for 4 hours, okay? Because that's, and we'll call it communicating. We have a talk. We need a talk. And then we'll just scare ourselves of talking. So there'll be little to no trust in our relationship because we can never actually get to the truth. Because you're further in the darkness now, hiding yourself from me, and I'm further in the darkness now, hiding myself from you, because we all know what happens in the meadow. Is this still working? You still here? You still with me? Okay, this is what happens. This is what happens. This is what happens. I tell you about you. That's judgment. That's not a gift. Nobody's feeling that. Oh, well, gift of the Spirit, judgment. Oh, and you're so good at it, too. Wow. I feel so seen and known when you get done judging me. No, I don't. I feel like getting away from you or killing you. Just to survive this moment, this conversation. So, respectful communication is I tell you about me.
and you listen. I tell you about me. And you listen. And then you check to see if you heard what I said. And then I edit. And that's called truth. You just learned about me what you did not know, because I never tell you because I'm so afraid you're going to judge me. I tell you the truth. I tell you about me. I tell you about my experience of you. I let you know how I'm experiencing you. I'm giving you really great information. Because if you'll listen, and when you listen, you just learn valuable information that you did not know, because you can only see it in the light. It's the only place it happens. It happens in the light. And we're supposed to have fellowship with each other and with him in the light. So that I can tell you the truth, and you can tell me the truth. And when you exchange truth back and forth, that's how you build trust. You build trust exchanging truth. If I tell somebody I don't trust them, you just told me you don't tell them the truth anymore. That's what you told me. You didn't tell me anything. You didn't tell me they're untrustworthy. You told me you stopped telling the truth in that relationship. I don't trust them. I don't trust them. Oh, well, you're half the problem. No, I just don't trust them. I don't trust them. See, when you say, I don't trust them, that infers they're untrustworthy. Let me tell you something. You can't stop my trust. You can't stop it. You don't control something so important about me. You don't control it. You don't control my honor. You don't control my love. You don't control my truth. You don't control it. Go ahead. Try. You don't control whether I tell you the truth or not. And my goal with you is connection. So now you're in big trouble. Here I come. I'm not here to tell you about you. Truth isn't what I think about you. Truth is my experience of you. I feel hurt. I feel scared. I feel disconnected. I feel invalidated when you say stuff like that, when you talk to me like that. I feel punished for my sins 10 years ago. I feel scared of what you're going to do with what I'm telling you. I need to feel loved. I need to feel connected. I need to feel powerful when we disagree and not invalidated. I need to feel trusted and valuable to you. I need to feel like a priority. My wife says, I need to feel special. Whenever she hits me with that, I need to feel special, I know I got my priorities all screwed up. She's a quality time girl. She said, I'm not feeling special. I'll be right back. Boom, why? I got truth. I got such great information that I did not know. If she had not truthed me, trusted me, if she had not trusted me with that super important information, I could not make the adjustments that would help our connection. I want to know the truth. I need to know the truth, because the truth will set you free. You got the truth flowing in your relationship? Boom! I guarantee you there's a freedom that you don't want to lose. You don't want to lose that freedom that you're going to experience when there is truth moving back and forth. You learn something valuable, you make that adjustment. I didn't realize that. You know, I thought you were a touch love language, because I am. You know, I So who wouldn't want some of this? I mean, gosh, you know, who wouldn't want more of this? I mean, gosh, I would. I love you the way I'd like to be loved. And you act like I'm trying to steal your purse. I've never seen such. I just thought, you know what? You haven't been loved well enough yet. Let me hug you again. We don't even know how to tell each other the truth sometimes. I don't even know what I need. I don't even know what I feel. I've squashed it down so hard, I don't even know where it is. I'm just good at judging people. I'm not good at being honest. So be powerful. Win the battle between love and fear. Keep connection your goal. Practice respectful communication and honor healthy boundaries. Okay, this is the Kylo 5. Honor healthy boundaries essentially is you take responsibility for what you will and what you won't participate in. Okay, you don't control other people's mouths or other people's attitudes or other people's motivations. You don't control any of that. You just control how much of that you participate in, right? One of the best pieces of advice I could give you is figure out what you want and then work through the diarrhea and leave what you don't want. You got to get rid of what you don't want before you can invest in what you do want. But this is the problem. The problem is, you know what? He's had this disrespectful relationship with my mom, who I've known my whole life. It's been going on since I met her. It's just like this. It's always been like this. Just every time we get in a room together, it's disrespectful. It's like, I hate it. I just try to stay away from her. We just have a disrespectful culture in our marriage. It's just what we've cultivated. My teenager is so disrespectful. I don't know where they learned it. You have all the disrespectful conversations that you participate in. You have all the disrespectful, irresponsible relationships that you participate in. So you have to decide, really, how much pain do you want to keep in your life? How hard are you going to work to keep these things in your life?
Well, I have to.
No, that's powerless language. Something outside is making you do something. You don't have to. You choose to. Yeah. You're choosing to participate in things you say you don't want. I don't want garbage, but I live in a dump. Okay, well, it's confusing. It's confusing when you say it like that. You know, it's confusing that you don't want garbage, but you live in a dump. You live there. Like that's your home. But you don't want garbage. So why are you at the dump? Just, you know, I don't know if you could pick that up or not, but it's very confusing when I hear you say those words. You keep saying, I don't want something that you keep going and doing. Yeah. I don't want to. I pray, Lord, make me not do it anymore. How's that prayer working for you? Take it away, Lord. Make me stop. Hold me on the ground. Put your boot on my throat. Pour water in my face, Lord. How's that working out for you? Has that ever happened, ever? Yeah, the Lord took me out to the woodshed. No, he didn't. That's just you describing your history on the earth. Here's the challenge for us is that We live in a culture of love and freedom, not power and control, not the threat of punishment. We live in a world where we can do whatever we want. You can do whatever you want. That's the scary part. Because freedom reveals what you want. See, the true test of your character is freedom, not religion. Not rules. Rules and keeping the rules, that's not a test of your character. Because then the places that had the most rules would have people with the most character, like prison. The test of your character is freedom. That's why so many rich people don't make it. It puts their character on display. That's why so many talented, beautiful, highly favored, gifted people blow their lives up with it. So practicing healthy boundaries has everything to do with your commitment to what you will and what you won't participate in. 11-year-old boy, a friend of mine was just telling me yesterday, his son is curled up in a ball on the couch crying because his friends are leaving. They went to this Christian school, homeschool, and they're now into a different environment. And his friends are leaving, and he's laying on the couch, and he's just crying. He's like, I'm never going to be one of the cool kids because I'm not going to cuss, and I'm not going to talk like that about girls. I'm never going to be a cool kid. That's character. 11 years old. I won't participate in that. Something to remember is mature love casts out fear, but immature love casts out people. You know, mature love casts out the fear. Like, I will manage me. I will manage me in this situation, in this relationship. Immature love makes it somebody else's fault. And I'll get rid of you rather than change. Mature. Grow. And that's the quest that we're all facing is how much like Jesus am I actually willing to be? Because I'm nowhere near it, even if I'm old. I still am challenged every single day to participate in the supernatural invitation of love. Every single day. Check your bad guy list. The older you are, the more tempting it is to have a bad guy list. Check it. Check it. Sit and watch the news to see if you can do it without manifesting. You know? Check it. Just because you're old doesn't mean you got this, okay? Just because you're old, you've been Christian, I've read the Bible 20 times, doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't mean a thing. Are you free? Can you tell the truth? Or do you take responsibility for the love that other people have a chance of experiencing coming from you? Are you a person of covenant relationship? Or are you just still married? Is this still working? Yeah. Are you a person of covenant? Are you willing to die to protect your relationships? You haven't heard the boundary lesson, so I'm just going to let that float out there.
all people? What about Al-Qaeda? No, I'm just saying.
Okay, I talked for a really long time, but I had a great time. I had a great time. I had a great time. That was really fun.
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.